And we're starting our journey on the Friday Daily, detailing immigrant stories. And we're going to uncover and document various journeys and stories throughout the next coming weeks. And we want to open this segment to you as well. So if you have someone you think is deserving of our coverage, let us know, 0468 441073, and maybe we'll cover them in a future week. Now, to start our series off, we're joined by Felice Montrone.
Correct. Very good spelling, Eleanor.
And he's going to discuss his story. And I must say, I'm going to put this little tidbit in. Sean, my producer, is his grandson. So
I declare an interest there.
Now, tell us a bit about yourself, your journey from Italy to Australia.
It was an interesting journey. I arrived in Australia on a DC-9. Those that know what a DC-9 is, it's not a big plane, and it did six stops on the journey to Australia. So it's a grueling, difficult travel. My years when I arrived at Kingsford Smith Airport, I were just basically busting out. The sound of the airplane was still in my ears, and I went for weeks without being able to hear anything.
Oh, I know. So I hate that.
That's how I was. It was a lovely journey. I mean, I landed in Australia and I went to a camp in Matraville. It was a migrant camp.
Oh, that one at Heffron Park.
Correct. Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Yes,
they've only just pulled down those bunkers.
Yes, yeah. Yes. It was a lovely one. And there I learned how to, you have your breakfast with cereal and milk and a toast.
How was the coffee back then?
Oh, terrible, absolutely terrible. But look, it was great. There's lots of Italian migrants coming from Yugoslavia as well, from Slovenia. There was a lot of European migrants coming in between the 60s. Well, I came in 1969, so it was lovely. I still have some very strong relationship and friendship from that time. They gave you a 2 weeks window of opportunity to learn your way around, and I couldn't speak English, so you just had to make do. I remember going on the bus from Matraville to Sydney, and the lady, the conductor, there was a conductor collecting money, and she said, fares please, fares please. And I used to put the coin in my hand, and she picked the money that she wanted out of my hand.
Oh, I did the same thing in Italy. I'd say, I'll give you just take what you need.
That's what I did.
And you came over here when you were 19, is that right?
Correct, yeah.
That's quite young at that time.
Yes, I was living in Torino. Torino is a very cold winter.
My husband says that's the most beautiful place in Italy.
Absolute chocolates and galore and the Juventus and Torino and the soccer team. So great place. But there was a request to Australia to get some specialist construction workers or designers. And, I made the application, and the government, within 5 days, the Australian government decided to fund my ticket to Australia and host me in Australia for 2 years. But the hosting was basically brief and you had to get on with it.
Two weeks.
You just get going. And I remember sort of catching the bus, and I didn't know. I got a job very quickly in North Sydney, and I didn't know that there was a train station at Central. So the bus stopped at Central from Matraville, and I used to walk to Wynyard to catch the train to North Sydney.
You even missed Town Hall.
Absolutely. So whilst I was walking Town Hall, I remember vividly there was protesters every time. It used to be the centre of protesting, the Town Hall Square, just in front of Town Hall. And I remember this time there was a mass of people, and they were complaining about nothing else. They had placards saying WW reverse, which means down, reverse, Springboks. And I couldn't understand what they were complaining about. I mean, Australia had inflation of 2%, interest rate of 1%, unemployment of 1%. Australia was booming. And these guys was a horde of people complaining and protesting, until I went into my little book, and the translating book, and spring in a box. What are they complaining about? These guys are idiots. And no, they were complaining about the South African rugby team.
And deservedly so. So they should.
Yes.
So you came here because you were a circular?
I was a developer of drawings.
Drawings. Okay.
Architects and engineers develop, design buildings, and then you have to interpret them into scheduling for operative to put in construction.
Okay. So like circular, as in like the center point tower.
Silos, center point tower, structure like Masonic Center. And so many others. My last job was the Glebe Island Bridge.
Is that circular?
No, not circular, but the skills were there. They needed my skills, so there it was. It was those columns you see on the Glebe Island Bridge.
Oh, yeah. And okay. That's a nice way to end your career. Yeah.
Yes.
So how did you translate these diagrams when your English was very little?
Well, I took a fast course. Living in Matraville, I went to a night school in the very first couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, to learn basic English language. I then came to UTS, who was a technical college then, who offered English classes, and I did 6 months of night English classes because I had to work to live, to earn money to live. So I did 6 months of that, and I did well. And then I decided to repeat the same course again, the English course, and that gave me the skills to do the necessary skills to do the work. Meantime, I had some very patient and a patient employer who had patient, but they need the skills. They need people, and they realized that I had the skills. I only had to bring it out, and they were very, very nice to me. I've been very fortunate. I've been a very fortunate person.
Yeah, well, you make your own luck in this life.
Yes,
I think now you were awarded the Order of Australia Medal in 2013 for your service to the Italian community. How have you continued helping new migrants settle into the country after yourself travelling across the world?
Well, I've been, 50 years of community services, basically, and one of the key important part of that was, this was after the Order of Australia. By the way, the Order of Australia, I received that on the 60th anniversary of Queen Elizabeth coronation, which was just a magic gift by Queen Elizabeth and the government that they gave me that. And some things you don't forget. So COVID comes. It arrives. Surprise, surprise. The then Prime Minister says, I won't mention his name. The then Prime Minister says, if you don't like if you don't like Australia, then pack up your bag and go. Well, thousands and thousands and thousands of young people on temporary visa got stranded in Australia. And I made a call to ARM to help those young people. Mainly they were backpackers on working holiday visas. And what we did a big, enormous fundraiser. We raised $150,000 one day, and then we raised another $100,000 another day. And that gave us the ability to fund food vouchers, rental assistance, electricity assistance, medical assistance, because backpackers and working on their visas have only 6 months of medical protection when they come to Australia via, especially Italian and others, they don't have the same agreement, so they were unprotected. So medical requirement, medical need weren't protected. So not only we provided thousands and thousands and thousands of packages assistance to, and the other thing that we did, we lobbied violently against the then government about extending the medical coverage to those people. We started with the Italian. There was about 30,000 Italian kids in Australia, and the government relented on that, and it extended to 1.5 million young migrants in Australia. They got a year protection, of medical protection, and then we forced the government to do another 6 months after that.
That was the
introduction to young people for me.
Yeah, and just to about, you've also done some radio work as well.
Absolutely. I was a founding member of Radio Skid Row in 1980 when the then Prime Minister Malcolm Fraser opened the airwaves to community radio. The University of Sydney set up a radio station called Radio Skid Row, which is still there.
Yes,
I made a donation a couple of weeks ago to them. I still have an affection for them.
Well, you got to make a donation. We've got a radiothon coming up very soon. You'll have to
start
listening to us.
One.
Yeah. I'll just get Sean to. We've run out of time, but thank you very much, Felicia, to coming in.
It is a great pleasure.
And we could talk for hours and hours and hours.
Especially about the Camino de Santiago.
That's another story. But thank you for coming in and telling us about your story. And,
I hope many people come out and tell their story, because it's so beautiful. Think about Quan Lu, who came here. He was the head of radio in Laos, and then he came here and he became a cleaner, only to become the governor of South Australia. What a wonderful story to the migrant people.
I know. People come in here like yourself, no English, and then, just doing so much.
It's magic.
It's magic. All right, thank you, Felicia.
Bye, Lenore.
It's 9:30. Bye-bye. And it's 9:30. That was Felicia. He was the grandfather of my producer, Sean, and he was just telling his story, coming all the way from Torino in Italy. Beautiful place.